Metamorphosis is a biological process by which organisms undergo significant changes as part of a necessary period of growth. It is intense. It is uncomfortable. But only through this process can one mature and become something more. My name is Nina Yoshida Nelson. I am a mezzo-soprano. I am a co-founder of the Asian Opera Alliance, and I am an artistic advisor at Boston Lyric Opera. I have performed the role of Suzuki from Puccini's Madama Butterfly well over 150 times, and I am also thrilled to be returning this fall as we get ready to bring Madama Butterfly back to the stage. Through this process, I have gathered colleagues from across the Asian American community to explore the complex and sometimes sticky cultural narratives surrounding Madama Butterfly. Join me as we explore together, grow together, and discover a new butterfly, one with wings to stand the test of time. One of the greatest gifts of being involved in diversity, equity, and inclusion work has been my own learning about my family and my culture. It's something that I didn't really consider until I got involved in all of this work. And actually, just a couple days ago, I was doing some research online with a company called Densho, and I was looking through old pictures of Japanese Americans and video and whatnot. And I decided to search my grandmother's name. I thought, oh, there probably won't be much of her in here. And I searched her name, and up came 20 or more videos of her talking about being Japanese American and being incarcerated during World War II. I spent my whole day watching these videos. And at one point, she talked about her family, which includes me, and the person who was interviewing her asked if she talked with her family about being incarcerated. And she says, no, I never really have. My family's not really very interested in talking about it. And I found that so fascinating because here I am years after she's passed, and I am incredibly interested in what she went through in her life. And I have been thinking about how often we look at our past so that we can learn from our mistakes in the future. We always hear history ends up repeating itself over and over and over again. And I think there's something really poignant about being able to look back so we can go forward in a better way. My guests today are Hoang Ro and Mari Yoshihara. This summer, Santa Fe Opera produced the world premiere of Hoang Ro's opera, M. Butterfly. Mari wrote a beautiful and very poignant review of the piece. Here's a little excerpt. The Black Lives Matter movement has heightened public awareness about the intertwined nature of racism and sexism, and intersectionality has gained currency in American discourse. Simultaneously, recognizing the genius of Puccini's music and grappling with the problems of the opera and its legacies, M. Butterfly engages in a critical conversation with Madama Butterfly. And that is the most important contribution of this new opera. An unapologetically Asian and Asian American artistic production, M. Butterfly asks in operatic form, what has Butterfly done to us? So I'm really excited to have Hoang Ro and Mari Yoshihara here as my two guests on today's episode. Thank you both for being here with me. One of the things that we talk about a lot in this advocacy is that it can't just be Asians on stage or, you know, Asian composers, that we need to have more diversity everywhere we go, right? Like in administrative roles at opera companies and on stage management and everything like that. And one of the things that I had never really thought about before until the summer was actually like having, making sure that we have diversity in the people who are also reviewing us, and yeah. and that we have diverse experiences of those people who are then writing about us in the news, so mm-hmm. that, you know, the people who are reading these get a real, actual, diverse review of these works. And I know that, Mari, that's one of the reasons that you wrote this really poignant review of M. Butterfly this summer, was because the majority of the people who were writing these reviews were white men, right? I'd love to hear, you know, why it's important to make sure that we have diverse people talking about these works as well.
Right. I mean, I didn't necessarily write my review as a challenge to the white critics review,
right.
but I do think that the diversity is very critical. There is a classic book called Art Worlds by sociologist Howard Becker. Mm-hmm. He talks about art not as kind of product of individual genius, but as really a practice of a whole network of individuals and institutions. So of course, artists themselves, whether it's composers or painters or performers, but also people who are dealers, suppliers, presenters, critics, consumers, audience, etc. It's the networks of all these different kinds of people and institutions, that's the production and practice of art, right? Mm-hmm. And in that network of artistic practice, reviewers are, you know, often not discussed all that much because they're largely in the background, but I think they play an important role in shaping the discourse. Their primary medium is words that, you know, we write and we speak about these words, these mm-hmm. works. And reviewers not only influence how individual works are evaluated in the immediate term. I mean, of course, mm-hmm. they do that in terms of reviews and, you know, papers and magazines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But cumulatively, critics play a critical role in the formation of the canon, right? Mm. So what gets performed, what gets included in anthologies and dictionaries and textbooks and syllabi, mm-hmm. whose portraits are hung on the halls of fame, etc. You know, cumulatively, reviewers and critics' work shaped that, you know, that canon. And so just as it's important to have diverse range of artist voices, it's also mm-hmm. important to have diversity of critical voices in terms of reviewers.
Yeah, I mean, I was following this all very closely because I was really excited about this opera. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I was really interested in, every single review I read before yours mentioned something about how Huang Ro is, you know, was born in China and is a Chinese composer, and why there weren't Chinese instruments, and how strange it was that there weren't Chinese instruments in this show. And I was like, why is that even really important to write about? Like, does that make a difference or not? And I was struck that that was something that these reviewers were critiquing.
It's very you know, the short answer is I really cannot get into, you know, each person's mind, but I want to ask, when they review a work by, you know, a British composer or a German composer, would they ask the same question? Would the composer use their ethnic instrument into their opera or not? Almost like you never think about asking Britain. George Benjamin, for example, why didn't he use a British bagpipe in his opera? It's just laughable if you ask that question. But then why is okay to question, you know, the cultural identity of an Asian composer? Why didn't you weave your instruments, Chinese instruments, into your orchestra? Then almost like that should be a must for some people, otherwise it would not prove to be authentic. But then what exactly is the authenticism of cultural identity? And to me, it's in the music, is in the character, is in the voice, even in the Western instruments I use. It's not necessary need to use chapstick when I eat every meal to prove I'm Chinese American. So I found that fascinating. But of course, I would love, you know, the critics to have more knowledge of, you know, different cultural backgrounds, where the creators came from. But obviously, it's close to impossible to have so many diverse critics for one single newspaper. Right. But still, it's like doctor, right? They still receive training updates every year with new medication come out, new medicine, new techniques come out. And I do think with our very fast changing opera world, have so many new works, such diverse pool of new works coming out. If our the critics, their knowledge don't catch up or don't whiten up, then in a way you will feel is lag behind. So that is all I want to share is I do hope that there are more diversities also in the journalism. Not just for review, but also for preview, for interview. You know, I think it will lift up also to complete our cultural industry.
Something Phil and I talked about in the last episode is the way Butterfly is viewed in Asia versus in the United States. You both were born and raised in Asia, where the majority of the population is Asian. As you moved to the United States, you then became the minority. You have firsthand experience in this shift in identities and perceptions. So I'm curious to know your thoughts on how operas like Butterfly have different meanings, depending upon where the production is located.
As you say, Madame Butterfly has very different meanings when you are in Japan or in Asian country as part of the majority. It doesn't necessarily... To a Japanese audience, Madame Butterfly doesn't necessarily represent Japan, right? I mean, it's a representation of Japan and Japanese heroine, but it's not the representation of Japan. And also, if you are viewing the Japanese production of Madame Butterfly, you are viewing one of many productions, whether it's opera or any work of performing arts, that are done by the Japanese people about Japan or anything else. I think a good kind of reference point is, say, the film Crazy Rich Asians that came out a few years ago. And a very prominent and wonderful novelist and critic, Viet Thanh Nguyen, wrote this very brilliant op-ed in the New York Times when that movie came out. And he used this concept of narrative plenitude, right? So in other words, when there are lots and lots of stories about, say, Asian Americans or Asian people, there isn't so much burden on an individual work, whether it be film or opera or novel. It will be considered one of many stories. It doesn't, individual works don't get burdened with the responsibility of representing the entire race or ethnicity or people. But we live in the world of narrative scarcity when it comes to Asian Americans in the United States, so that films like Crazy Rich Asians or Joy Luck Club, 20 years ago, it has this burden of having to represent the entire people. And of course, people have mixed feelings about it. Some people like it and some people don't like it as much. But, you know, he put it somewhat sarcastically, but also very aptly. When you have narrative plenitude, you have the luxury of being mediocre. If something flops, it doesn't represent, like, a mediocre film by a white director or producer doesn't necessarily mean anything about the white people's ability to create great work. It's just a flop. But when you're a minority, you don't have that luxury. So I think the place of Madame Butterfly in the operatic repertoire, because opera has traditionally been considered a white European art form, and there really aren't any other major operas that deal with Japan as a setting or has major Japanese or Asian characters for that matter, it has this burden of, carrying the entire race and people.
I don't know that I've ever quite thought about it that way, but it's really true. Huangruo, what about you? Any thoughts?
Yes, it is a very, very intriguing question, to say the least, because we do come from the other side of the world, and now we are the minority. But I think when Madama Butterfly, or Turandot for that matter, was shown in China, I personally, among other people, view that as a very, as what Mari rightly pointed out, is a very Western, the crown jewel of Western art form. Opera is a Western thing, it's a European thing. And even the entire cast is Asian cast, which actually was quite the case in the old days. They even sung it in Chinese. And you still feel that is Western art form, Western opera. We are still minority in that art form. Even in entire stage, are Asians on the stage. So that doesn't mean suddenly you feel proud, or you feel you are the majority in that art form or in that opera. So another thing is, you know, this also is a cultural phenomenon. Whenever there is a big new opera house opened in China, they often like to do Turandot. And you know, if you really ask people, do they really see the issues behind that opera? Not too many Chinese people will really tell you what the issues are. But the fact that it involves a Chinese prince, it takes place in Beijing, you know, that is proud enough to celebrate. And so I haven't seen Madama Butterfly in Japan yet. So I might guess there might be some people would have that kind of proudness of this is an opera involving a character or a part of the story take place in this country. So so that's very differently from at least how I see both operas today and in the West.
That's really interesting versus in the East. And I guess if you have, you know, Chinese singers singing Chinese characters on stage in Turandot, or, you know, Japanese singers singing Japanese characters in Madame Butterfly, there is no caricature, right? there's no
right.
person necessarily, you know, not playing a real character on stage.
Right. And it's also, I mean, in a Japanese production of Madame Butterfly, it's quite unlikely that you will have these, you know, gross, egregiously wrong costume or makeup or setting, you know, that just would look or, you know, seem wrong to the Japanese audience.
Right. Yeah. That was something actually, you know, I've been thinking about a lot, is how much of it is the opera versus how much of it is the costumes and the sets and whatnot, you know.
Right. But, and casting too.
And casting. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Something that I find really exciting about all three of us is that we all want to dig into this idea of Madame Butterfly. Oftentimes right now we're living in a kind of sticky world where a lot of people are saying, no, we need to cancel it. There's enough like problematic stuff in this opera that let's just shelve it and let's cancel it. But all three of us really feel like it actually should not be canceled. There's opportunity here to dig into some of these topics. And what are some of the things that some of the different ways that Asian American creatives have responded to Butterfly, and how is that actually furthering our industry?
In addition to the increased number of Asians in like opera and other fields of classical music, another change that I have seen, I think one of the most notable change that I've seen in the last 20, since the last time I wrote the book, is that the growing awareness and critical voice among Asian and Asian American artists themselves. So of course, even 20 years ago, when I was doing my original research, all musicians, all artists had their own experience, you know, various kinds of thoughts and grapplings about their identity and race and representation, etc. But many of them simply did not have the language to speak about them. But now, especially in the last several years, because of the Black Lives Matter movement, because of Me Too movement, and because of COVID and, you know, the rise of anti-Asian violence, etc., there's a lot more heightened awareness and voice and mobilization among Asian artists themselves. And a lot of them have a lot more kind of critical, politicized language to talk about these issues. And they're less afraid to talk. I mean, of course, there are lots of barriers. I mean, of course, you know, people's careers on the line. So, I mean, there are very many impediments for artists to speak up, you know, fear of retaliation, etc. But nonetheless, I mean, it's been very heartening for me to observe just, you know, this like immense mobilization and leadership and, you know, solidarity and collaboration among Asian musicians. So that's very encouraging. I think one very important thing is engaging the history and engaging the present at the same time. So for when we're dealing with works like Butterfly, when you produce Butterfly, yes, I think Butterfly should continue to be produced. It's a fraught work. I have love-hate relationship to it, but I think on the whole, music is beautiful. It's important work. Instead of canceling, I would like, you know, our the opera companies and artists and audience to grapple with it, you know, not simply kind of take it at face value or you know, but really grapple with it rather than, you know, passively receiving it, and engage the history by looking at the fraught legacies, fraught representations, and its meaning for Asian people and Asian artists, etc., but also think about what it means to produce this work in the present. If it's Atlanta, like what it means to produce this work today in Atlanta. You know, Atlanta is the site of this tragic incident where real Asian women were killed. Right? It's a horrifying incident. You know, I don't want Atlanta Opera or the audience or the people involved in this production to look away from that. Like, what does it mean? I don't mean that therefore Butterfly should not be produced in Atlanta. I would like to see it as an opportunity to engage and like have a critical dialogue about these issues of race and, you know, gender and sexuality and all of these things. If you manage to engage both the history and the present and the real issues of Asians, men and women, in the community, then Butterfly would serve the community.
Beautiful. I think it's you know, really important in a place like Atlanta that we do dig into these issues and we talk about them, because if we don't talk about them, we're erasing them, right? Like this, it becomes erasure. And in order to learn from our past, we have to talk about it so that this doesn't keep happening over and over and over again, right? And I think if you look at Atlanta Opera season in general, every single opera in one way or another can be seen as problematic. And I think that's one of the exciting things that Tomer, the general and artistic director of Atlanta Opera, is doing, is he's really digging into this idea of, you know, making sure that we are addressing things that can be potentially uncomfortable to talk about.
I also agree, and we should not cancel history. And history already made and was made for a reason. And with opera like Madama Butterfly, and if we just simply put it away, shelf it away, delay or cancel it, also is another way of not just irresponsibility, but also, lack of better word, just laziness of not to face the you know, the issues and the reality of mm-hmm. what we should mm-hmm. address. And it's a good chance, mm-hmm. particularly if we talk about we want to bring in more younger and newer and more diverse audiences. And this mm-hmm. is your chance to confront, to really show the opera and let to talk about it, to make a four-dimensional mm-hmm. discussion about it, to really let the audience know why this opera was created, and in mm-hmm. what circumstances, what are the issues are, and how we can address them. And of course, there are new operas created to counter it, like Anne Butterfly, or to address mm-hmm. the issues, like An American Soldier. And there are many other mm-hmm. operas written by my other colleagues as well, are totally capable of to create a dialogue, a conversation mm-hmm. with the flawed opera created, not just Madame Butterfly, but other operas. You know, I look at Carmen, there's issues in Carmen too. So what, you cancel mm-hmm. Carmen? Then the tomorrow you cancel all the Wagner, then suddenly there's no perfect opera in the world. Then everybody have to change our career. So I think that way is not the right way, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But instead, we could still program them as long as what you are doing here, Naina, to talk about it, to invite, you know, industry people to address the issues, and of course to program accordingly, and to create a conversation. That to me is the not just responsible to the history, as what mm-hmm. Mari said, also responsible to the present as well.
And I think we see that in what Atlanta Opera is doing. By having these important conversations, I think that's part of all of our mission, yeah. right? Not just cancel Butterfly, but show what, I mean, how beautiful is it that you can potentially program two things together where you're showing what a Japanese culture through a white Italian man's lens looks like, and then you can simultaneously potentially program a, you know, an Asian American composer who writes about, you know, racism against Asians in America, mm-hmm. and you can have those conversations about how what happened in the past then
yeah exactly
potentially dictates what happens in the future.
Exactly. And the history mm-hmm. is a mirror we could look into to learn about today. So I just feel, you know, you need a referencing point as well, right? When you talk about, you know, what happened in the past. If you don't have a past, how could you talk about the past? And as a composer, I respect history. I often feel, you know, great work is there and they should exist for a reason. And as modern human being, we should treat them and look at them in different set of understanding and evolving. Mm-hmm. That's human history of evolving. So then the work could survive and we keep evolving to the more advanced, more informed stage as well.
And through that, we then further our own industry and our own art form, right? And we can combine everything to keep moving forward and to keep bringing new audiences in and new musicians in, and we can, you know, renew this idea of this art form that has potentially been seen as kind of a museum art form. But if we keep doing this and keep moving forward, we are evolving with our own society. And I think that's a really great place to say thank you for being here with me today. And I really enjoyed today's conversation. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Metamorphosis, a limited series from the Atlanta Opera podcast. The executive producers are Tomer Zvulun and Ashley Marakian. Matt Dykman is the producer and editor. I am your host, Naina Yoshida Nelson. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It's a great way for more people to find our content. And be sure to subscribe so you can stay up to date on new releases from the Atlanta Opera Podcast. The Atlanta Opera's production of Madama Butterfly runs November 5th to the 13th at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center in Atlanta, Georgia. You can purchase tickets for any performance at www.atlantaopera.org/tickets. If you are unavailable to join us in person, you can experience the live stream of this production from anywhere on Friday, November 11th, only on Spotlight Media. Learn more at stream.atlantaopera.org.